Friday morning from JMIS, Andrew Kelleher, greetings to you.
Yeah, good morning, Mike.
Now, the ARBA yesterday was interesting, apart from anything else, I thought, because traders seem to be at odds with the TWI forecasts. So what's going on here? What did they say?
Yeah, well, they left the official cash rate unchanged, and for most people, that's probably all they need to know. But I think if you dig a bit deeper, I think this was a fascinating statement. It was very interesting, very tricky statement for the Reserve Bank to prepare, because they've got very little government policy detail to work with. So they've tried to incorporate some of the detail from major government policies, Kiwi Build, new spending, tighter visa requirements, and I think minimum wages in there as well. But they said that the impact of these policies is very uncertain. Now, they've moved their near-term inflation track, so they've basically acknowledged the higher recent inflation outcome. It's still sitting near the midpoint. There's a minor change out in 2020 when it looks like the official cash rate goes up a little bit earlier, but that's out in 2020, so it's really, I don't think that's material. Look, they acknowledge the weaker housing market, but they still seem to have pretty optimistic growth forecasts. And yeah, you're right, they've got this flat forecast for the trade-weighted index, which I think indicates that they probably don't have a very strong view on that, so they've just kind of put it out flat and said, well, we'll see what happens. Yeah. I think you could argue this is a little bit more hawkish, but it looks to me like they've tried to externally look like they're running right down the middle of the road until they get better information. But Mike, one thing is very clear. They believe that the internal decision-making process, which is committee-based, and they're happy for that committee to be formalised and the sole responsibility taken away from the governor, but I think they are quite concerned about the use of external members on that policy-making committee. They say it will raise problems. They're concerned that these people won't have all the information the Reserve Banks have, and they also said there's difficulty in finding people in a small country who don't have conflicts of interest. And I think those are very valid concerns.
Exactly. Short of you being on that board, I don't know who they're going to find.
Well, Andrew, I'd vote for me.
Dead right, I would too. Now, Zero, that came out of nowhere, didn't it?
Left field, completely left field. I mean, people that don't know, Zero, very successful software service, sells accounting services online. It now has users all over the world. Caught all of the market by surprise yesterday, Mike, and reasonable levels of disbelief by saying that they were going to delist from the NZX. Now, a lot of market participants I spoke to yesterday said they reflected on the fact that moving their principal listing to Australia seemed reasonable, and leaving the NZX listing, but ditching the listing on NZX completely seems, I think, dramatic would be a euphemism for some of the words that I heard. Now, everybody was talking very politely yesterday at the NZX and Zero, but there must be some very disappointed people, Mike. Yeah. It doesn't really send a vote of confidence about the NZX. And look, yes, a lot of their revenue is offshore, but that's not a good reason to move your listing. Now, Rod Drury used to be a director of the NZX. The reasons given were access to deeper capital markets, increased trading liquidity, broader base of potential investors. Yeah, sure. But Mike, I think there's stuff not being said here.
Yeah.
And I think there's still a story to come out, and we will
have
to wait
and see.
Because
it's a great New Zealand story. There's a lot of New Zealand shareholders involved, and then you've got the patriotic angle, of course, as well, haven't you?
Yeah, and you've got, I mean, basically the local fund managers who have an NZX mandate, I mean, they're going to have to sell.
To go local, exactly.
Yeah, and any New Zealand shareholders will now have Australian dollar exposure. So, look, it's unusual, and I think there's a story behind this.
All right. Singles Day today, isn't it? Alibaba Day, billions of dollars of spending just to get over the fact you can't find yourself a bloke or a blokette.
Yeah, I think that's got nothing to do with it anymore, has it? Now, this is the biggest shopping event in the world, Singles Day. Alibaba estimates at $24 billion US. Don't be surprised if that gets blown out of the water. Jack Ma is trying something a little bit different this year, Mike. There are 6 million convenience stores in China, and he's going to try and sell stuff through a bunch of those as well. So you'll go into the local dairy and shop in Alibaba as well. Let's wait and see. On Monday, we'll get the numbers.
Yes, indeed. It'll be fascinating to watch. Numbers, please, here.
Yeah, Mark, it's a little bit weaker overnight. The US market a little bit concerned about introduction of tax reforms later than normal. 23,435 on the Dow, down 126, 2579, S&P 500 down 14, NASDAQ down also 6737, the FTSE 100 7481 down 48, Nikkei 22868 down 45, Shanghai Composite 3427 up small, ASX 200 6049, they were up 33 yesterday, the NZX 50 down 19, a quarter of a percent, 8.021. One New Zealand dollar on the wholesale this markets this morning against the US 0.6943, against the Aussie 0.9064, against the Euro 0.5963, against the Pound 0.5290, against the Yen 78.84. Gold is trading at $1,284 and Brent crude pushing up to the $64 level.
And the price of petrol's gone up three times since last week. You have a good weekend, mate. We'll see you Monday. Andrew Callaher, JMIS. You get hold of him at jmis.co.nz.